What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Golf Podcast. This week, we're going to talk everything at TPC Scottsdale. Fun tournament, obviously. A little bit of fans coming back this week. We'll quickly recap our DFS, myself, AC, and Sam as well last week. And then we'll kind of get into the thick of things. As always, we'll talk about like the course setup, kind of the angle and approach of the type of golfers we're looking into, some of the key stats. And then we'll definitely go through the projections portal. It's been a hit so far with people that like us kind of talking about that a little bit more throughout the podcast. Quick housekeeping. As always, you can find all of our content, our projections portal I just mentioned, our core plays, and then the Discord chat room at dfskarma.com. And then everything now with our new launch, our new site, betkarma.com. I know I've always talked about that, but seriously, go give it a shout. Go check it out. There's a lot of tools and trends that are going to continue to upload for all sports. But right now you can tail our golf picks over there. We've got a couple winners so far this year, a couple first round leader wins, hoping to get back on the horse this week there. All right, Sam, let's get into it. How was DFS for you last week? I don't even want to waste time talking about Patrick Reed because it's just annoying and every other podcast in the world will spend 10, 15 minutes on it. To me, it is what it is at this point. It's Patrick Reed. But at the end of the day, he did win by, what, 5 strokes? I mean, so yeah, he dominated.
I mean, it's funny. Like, he absolutely cheated. And if he didn't, why would you not wait to prove he didn't cheat? But at the same time, like, I still just love Patrick Reed as a villain. It's just so funny because, like, someone said it's kind of true. Like, he's what the tour needs. You need to hate someone. Like, it used to be Bryson, now people like are infatuated how far he hits it, but like, yeah, Reed, just everyone hates him, and like, it's a, you can exploit it. I mean, I made back a bunch of my money on Sunday because I played him in Showdown. He like wasn't even that owned because people hate him. It's like, yeah, he's probably gonna win the tournament, but people won't play him because they hate his guts. So that's all I gotta say. Last week was slightly tilting because Adam Scott is just, oh my god,
how is he that?
I read this by someone I follow. I think it's Ben Cole. He's a good Englishman writer. And he was like, you know, it's tough on Adam Scott. You sign up at the beginning of the week for bad putting. Like, that's one thing. But that dude missed so many fairways. I've never seen him strike it that poorly. Well, so that
he had a new driver shaft that they kept talking about, which could have been a thing. He had several double crosses, which was highly unlikely for him, right? I mean, how often do we see Adam Scott with several double crosses? He was looking like Speed there over the weekend. Definitely was pissing me off because I had an outright on him as well.
Yeah, I had an outright on him. I had him in like my main lineup and my cash team. So like, if he had birdied that last hole, that would have been like a $700 swing in the other way. But life sucks, so that doesn't happen. But whatever. This week, yeah, I put my articles out. Final thoughts will be out tomorrow. I should get back soon. One of the housekeepings, I should get back soon when I have a little more time to writing a betting article. Regardless, as AC said at the top, we always have our stuff in the Bet Karma Discord. He's been hot. How many outrights? How many guys do you have in contention last week?
Dude, I mean, that was the kick in the balls. But you know what? I just damn well knew that it wasn't going to be my time for third weekend in a row because, like, I tried talking about it constructively in the chat room. It's like, guys, no matter what happens this weekend, we got to stay positive because at the end of the day, golf betting in itself is a long game. Like, you're not really going to win 3 weeks in a row. If we did, yes, we would have been joking about it, whatever. But I had like 4 or 5 guys in the hunt again, and I only had 4 outright bets. I decided to make 3 hedges on Saturday because I had a few guys in the race. So literally 4 or 5 guys down the stretch going into Sunday. I did feel good about it only because, to your point, like, yeah, I probably didn't compute Patrick Reed Sunday coming out and dominating like I probably should have. And it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to always bet the top guys on a weekend hedge. Some people do that. I've been guilty of it, doing it in the past, full disclosure. Like, yeah, once in a blue moon, I definitely go that route, but it's just hardly ever because your bankroll will get hurt long term. I think my bets were Lance O'Griffin. I got it 35-1 on Saturday as a hedge. Rory was, I probably pushed it at 14-1, but I mean, he was right there, man.
By the way, dude, I was going to say, I bet Rory at
33 greens going into Sunday. Yeah.
I bet Rory at 16-1 because I was like, he's literally four back. And like, he just keeps not making any sort of charge. I mean, again, it's not like he blew a lead. He didn't have a lead, but I was like, he is better than everyone up above him. So like, I know he could win. I was like 16-1 for Rory McIlroy seemed like good. I don't regret that one. I mean, he once again, just, I don't know what his problem is. He just can't ever be like in contention over the last year, but anyway, he's playing this week, first time ever. Waste management, yeah, I mean, it sucks that, like you said at the top, there are fans back. That 16th hole is, like, the coolest hole as, like, a fan to watch all year because it's so rowdy. I want to do that at some point in my life. It's, like, pretty standard course. I mean, the front nine is kind of boring and pretty easier, and then the back nine is really exciting. 11 through 14 are the toughest holes. 17 is drivable. With water on the left, which can make or break a guy's tournament. 16, obviously, is a short par three, and then 18 is a pretty tough one. I think it's interesting to note that 16, I mean, there should be way more birdies this year than normal because there's not a lot of, I mean, it's, I've played the course. It's like such an easy hole. Like, it's 130-yard flip wedge for these guys. They just, and they don't have crowds. Yeah. But you basically got to score on the par fours, which sounds obvious, but they're all above 400 yards for number 17. All the par fives are gettable in two, and there is water. So I don't know. I mean, strokes to get off the tee should be pretty big. The driving distance here normally averages like 15 to 20 yards longer than the tour average. So we say a lot of weeks, I mean, distance will never really hurt you, but this week I think definitely give a bump to the guys with distance. And then, yeah, I mean, Bermuda greens, and I think course history matters, but I don't think it's as imperative as some courses during the rest of the year. So
great breakdown, great analysis. We're going to, like we always do, that's how we're starting the podcast before we transition into the golfers. I know y'all want the picks, so we're going to start going through them in a second. Real quick, because I always want to make a note of this as well. In Sam's article, everything's pretty color-coded, user-friendly. Like, you can quickly go through this, see the top plays with some of the rationale, including the analytics. Remember, our brand is heavy on the analytics. We're trying to be a tech company long-term for everything we do, right? So couple things for y'all who are making these optimizers out there. Strokes gain approach, strokes gain off the tee, birdie or better percentage, strokes gain tee to green. Like you said, Bermuda emphasis and the par four scoring. Again, Sam lays this out in the article. It's free. It's right there. Okay, let's get into the golfers. Top range, 10K and above seems pretty loaded for this tournament relative to what I've realized in the past. So, again, they're all going to be owned 25%. Who are you making your stand on with one or two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned in my article, like, I literally think everyone above 10, and for that matter, just about everyone above 9, like, you could make a rationale, and I'd agree with you probably on any of these guys. I kind of like, you know, my favorites up there. I mentioned in my article, I'm not a big Xander guy normally, but I even went as far to post his stats from our partner, Fantasy National. Everyone should sign up there, by the way. It's what everyone uses. It's the best stats database. But Xander has just been so, so hot in literally every aspect of the game. He's played well here. He's not, you know, doesn't have the course history of someone like Webb or Hideki, who should be higher owned than him, maybe, or around the same. But I like Xander. I like JT up top. And then the only other guy, I mean, I don't know. It's tough because, like, I like Webb. I get it. I think he's probably the right cash game play. I think it'll be mega chalk. Hideki should be mega chalk. So I think if I was going to pick two, I'd probably go Xander and JT and hope maybe they're not the most popular up there, but it's tough. I mean, I don't, there's like all these guys that have pretty flawless games when you have like 98 and above, if you're including Hideki.
Yeah. For me, it's the no brainer as always. It's play John Rahm. I think I had 35% of him when I had some pretty good lineups again last week, man, using the optimizer. Again, that product is on the website. The machine learning simulations do the work for you. You know, we're here to help provide you enough of the golfers to, like, you know, go a little bit overweight on and suggest some of the players up top. It'll spit out the lineups for you. I will be getting probably 35% of Rahm this week. I'm going right back to the X-Man myself as well. I probably, because I got to have some fades up top, man, I feel like I'm going to fade Webb. And again, I haven't even checked, but his course history, like, I know it's amazing, right? Okay. Yeah. So it's really good. This could be just based on looking at, you know, it's a smaller sample, but the last 12 rounds, I mean, I think I'm going to have to fade Webb. I'll probably fade Rory, and I'll probably fade JT and go heavy on Rahm and X-Man. Only because JT, the whole, you know, I don't even know what to call it, what he's going through right now. But, you know, in this day and age, being politically correct. Yeah. So he's got some like mental issues. I just don't know. Right. Like, he's probably going to do very well. I mean, no doubt about it. But I'm leaning Rahm and X-Man and probably X-ing out the other players in the player pool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not playing Rory either. And I said in my, you know, article, I was like, if you're going to play Rory, like, that's not ever a bad play. I just can't play everyone up there. And he hasn't played here. He's gone back to back from Abu Dhabi to California and out of Arizona. So maybe there's some fatigue. Probably not. I like the Rahm call.
How much golf did you watch last weekend physically?
A good amount. I mean, I watched like all on Sunday because I knew Adam Scott was going to do dirty things, and he did.
So the one thing that stuck out to me with Rory, and this is really nitpicking, but, you know, I took mental note of it. All his putts are flaring to the right. They talked about it, you know, a decent amount. And I feel like even me as an amateur player, when I start doing that and blocking all my putts, like, sometimes it takes a little while to like recorrect things. And I'm just tired of him. I know he hit 32 or 33 greens. It'll probably come back and kill me, but I don't know, man. I mean,
he's missing on the amateur side, which is like the exact thing you don't want to do. Like,
I do love the narrative with Rahm every time. I'm a sucker for it. I mean, the whole Arizona State thing. I mean, I don't know. Rahm putting the jersey
on. It's just funny. Like, Rahm should be an auto player every week. Like I said, Xander is now, because Rahm finished seventh last week and like didn't even play that well.
I was going to say that it was like a painful every week. It's like a painful fifth place or third place, but yeah, it's like, because he cares. He's so obsessed. Like, he's good. You know, when he starts winning, he's going to win a ton. He's going to win a ton because he's a psychopath. And I feel like he's trying to unlock his greatness, which we all know he has.
Yeah. I mean, all right, he has four top sevens in a row, but he's like not even playing that well.
Next range, 9K. Yeah. I'll let you start at the anchor, 9K and above. Talk about Willie Z, my boy, who won me some cash money this weekend. I fared very well with my main lineup and MME because I went overweight on Will, only because you hyped him up last podcast. I even asked. I was like, I don't know much about him. You talked him up, and then you wrote him up in your article last week.
Yeah, he's a stud. I mean, he racked up another high finish. I like him again this week. I think he'll be more popular, but I'm fine with it. I'll play Berger almost certainly in cash. I think he could be the highest owned. I actually thought he was not that chalk, but I do like Berger. I mean, he's just consistent. I mean, I don't know. I'm fine. Again, I always am fine fading someone who's going to be 22%+ owned in any tournaments, but I can for cash. And then I'm going to go right back to Harris English because he burned me last week, but it's one of those things where he's been playing so well. And then, you know, he shot a 6 over on Thursday with like 3 doubles. He couldn't chip for anything. And then like, he was pretty much knew probably he was out of it to make the cut. I mean, he would have had to fire like an 8 under, which was not happening. So I think English could be one of the lowest down in this group besides maybe like Scheffler. But dude, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to fade Scheffler and Palmer. Palmer, he keeps burning me with these high finishes. When I fade him, I'll just keep doing it because he's putting out of his mind. But dude, Scheffler, oh my God, that Friday was so bad.
The projections portal right now, you have him for 5%. So,
yeah,
you know, he's been playing really bad. The stats have regressed. You know, I got to watch myself. And again, I'm trying to stay stick to our time schedule this year on these podcasts and not bore you guys to death for longer than 30 minutes. But Scotty Scheffler won me that $100,000, you know, last fall. So I don't want to get in the trap myself. I'm like literally thinking while I talk out loud of falling into a vortex of love with people, because I have been known to do that. You guys know me in Discord. I then go off on these people who I fall in love with when they start burning me. And right now, I mean, he's just not playing well, and I probably will X him out of my pool. If he burns me, great. You know, his one upside is with the driving distance, but he just doesn't look great. But there's leverage with that. I think Sungjae's going to be really popular. I probably will fade him here only because he doesn't really drive the ball as far as people think. And I know he's always in play. Like, he, there's always a moment during the weekend where Sungjae like creeps on the top 20 of the leaderboard, and he's, I love him, dude, but I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not playing all these guys. I probably won't be playing Berger. I'll probably rather go back to Hideki for the leverage. And I know Hideki will be 10 to 15% owned. I'm looking at the projections portal right now, but I would rather go back to Hideki, who's actually been playing, you know, Berger, whatever. If he's going to show up with double ownership, then, you know, I can't play all these guys. I like your call on Harris Ingers, though.
Next. Yeah, I'll just move down. I mean, it's funny, like, Brooks is now sub 9K. He hasn't really been playing well. I've hearing some guys I respect, a lot of people are betting him because he's a huge betting. I think I saw him, he was like 55 to 1. He might be down to like 45, but Brooks, I'm not. Matthew Wolf, I don't know why he's playing when he withdrew with an injury last week, so up in him. But I'll go back to Bubba, who burned me last week. I should have been off him. When I saw the weather, I should have not played him. That was so dumb. He cannot play any weather. But he plays well at this course consistently. It's like one of the top Bubba tracks. It fits his game really well, and the weather's supposed to be really good. I like him. I'm not going to play. I think Gary Woodland's going to end up higher than people think, and I think I'm going to fade him. I was kind of liking him, and then last week, he just did not look.
Do you realize he was, like, winning after day one almost? I mean.
Yeah, I know, and I was like, cursing myself. Yeah, I was so mad.
But, okay, yeah. I like your points all here. I mean, no Wolf for me. I mean, yes, this is the classic DFS spot where he will show up at 3% owned and win. but injury scares me. I always fade that. Man, I got to admit, I'm going to take a hard look at Brooks. I'm not really Brooks truther. I actually like the name, but I don't know, man. Like 8,800, nobody's going to play him, right? What do we have projected right now? I'm pulling up the – you have him at 8%.
Yeah. I mean
– you know, he is now – your projections portal, you are simulating him now starting in that value range. Like, he's becoming valuable based on the data. So, again, this is something that I want to talk more about this year. I mean, the data – itself is stimulating and projecting that he is actually now a good leverage play, and he's got some value at 8,800. I mean, you know, this might be the time. You got to play him before he actually does just go out in there and, you know, win or come in third place.
It's weird. Like, you know, he's missed three cuts in a row. I don't know if I've ever seen him do that. So it's like, this just screams now he's probably going to win. But it just seems like his, you know, Brooks is the kind of person you're like, I always notice, because like he is a big game hunter and he's burned me a lot when he just never misses a putt, but he just hasn't been making, it seems like, any birdies really, or just making a lot of putts. And that obviously gets something they can turn around, but I agree with the play from a leverage standpoint. I mean, I think he'll be lower owned than Ricky, lower owned than Bubba, lower owned than Woodland, Henley, Siwoo. So I get it from that point, but it's one of those things where I would just rather pay $200 more for Zalatoris just based on form, things like that.
I just happened to click on Gary Woodland's name looking at his stats. I mean, just X him out of your pool this week, everybody. I mean, that is not – I hope he's 10, 15%. And we have him right now, 12%. I will not be playing any Gary. Probably should show some love real quick before we go to the 7K range. I think the 7K range is the best range we've seen yet this year. But – I don't know if anyone's going to play. Let's see what you have in projecting. Okay, maybe 12% Siwoo Kim. He's just been, like, really good this year. I mean, I know he missed the cut with the Amex, but I have no problem going back to the well. Like, you know, the Farmers. And the Amex is kind of similar desert golf to me, and he just kind of went out there and did his thing. So I like some Siwoo this week.
Yeah, he's just never, like, I have him at 12, but he could easily come in. That might be his max. Like, he is never high owned because people still think he like withdraws all the time, even though he doesn't. Like, he used to do that all the time, but he's less risky than he used to be. So I like that call. I mean, the guy, the pivot there is clearly Brian Harman. I'm not playing him for once.
No.
I should probably lock him in. I'm not playing him. No, I hate
him. We talk about Brian Harman, I mean, probably more than any other podcast in the industry, if I had to guess.
It's so weird because I don't even like the guy. Like, I hate, because I just think he's such a coward. I hate guys who hit the ball like so short and like a wuss, but like, he always is breaking whatever stat model I have. But I don't care how chalky he is. My favorite play of the week, my favorite bet of the week, I thought his number was absurd, is Corey Connors. I play him every week, I write him up every week. He's just,
how chalk is he gonna be? Because I feel like it's 7,900. I love him. I mean, I'm
I mean, yeah, I don't even care if he's going to be a chalk bomb. Like, I don't know. I have a 17 or 18. He might be higher, especially in cash games and, you know, higher stakes stuff. But he's just I think he's mispriced. Like, I just that's all it is. I mean, I think it's different. I'm fine eating chalk at this price hesitantly. You know, if he was 6,900 or 7,000 and like 20% on, like, that's no, I'm not playing that. But I like him. I think Homa is going to be really high owned, and I don't really want to play him at all. So I'm fine just playing Connors. And then I'm going to go back and play Carlos Ortiz. He was in my main lineup last week. He had a garbage Sunday, but I mean, it's not like he's a big name who's going to, like, is always in that in contention. He's going to feel some pressure, but he won only a couple tournaments ago. He's going to be like not owned at all. So I like Carlos Ortiz as a pivot. And then before I take all the plays, I'll let you say some of the guys you like in the sevens.
Yeah, like I said, I actually like that Cole Ortiz. I kind of overlook him a little bit more. He made it into my MME pool. I think I was only 2X him. So the lineup I had that was super close. I mean, I was pegging back and forth between 15th and like 25th for the majority of Sunday. And then I don't even know what happened. I went grocery shopping with my wife. I came back and like my MME team was like in 90th. But that's DFS golf for you. So yes, Connors, boom. Absolutely, without a doubt, Sam Burns. I mean, I just keep playing him in DFS. Yeah. What are you projecting him? He's got to be owned. The book is out on Sam Burns. What is he projected? How am I not saying this? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to be chalked this week. You're projecting him. When I see 15% on a Tuesday.
When I update on Wednesday, I assume it's going to be like 17 to 20. But, I mean, dude, people just love playing. He's like the new he's like the Finau of like the 7-8K range. Like, people just like to play him.
But, you know, if you look at it, and again, I'm kind of going through his stats real quick, you know, greens in regulation is just ridiculous. Like, he's hitting every green, and this is the type of course that you want to be able to have somebody who's just striping it, right? You know the feeling, Sam, you're a better golf player than I am. When you are striping it, you're just hitting green after green. His drives, not only are they long, but he's got good drives gained. I mean, the ball's just in play no matter what. And unfortunately, not that he was going to win. I don't know if you were watching late on Sunday. I believe it was him or Homa hold out, or they both were, they went like back to back. And then dude on 18, he hit a duff shot into the water on 18.
Sam Burns. Maybe this is just like a memory, like, or I'm just like creating my own memory here, but like, I feel like the last couple times he's been in contention, happened last year in Memorial, he will be like in one of the final groups and will like double or triple the first hole. Yeah. And so like, he's completely out of it, and then he'll play fine. But he just was never in contention after like a first hole blow up where he made a seven, the other guys made three. It's weird. I mean, he's just solid. He crushes it, like you said. I like him a lot. I'll play him for sure in cash.
What about Chris Captain Kirk? He's ranking.
Yeah, seven. I wrote him up. He's ranks really well. He's played really well recently. I mean, I put in the article. I don't have it up in front of me. But yeah, I mean, he has last four starts. He has an 18th, 16th, and a second. I mean, a little different fields. Course history, I mean, it's, you know, it's fine. He missed a cut last year, but then had made his previous six cuts before that. And I just, you know, in this range that seems, like you said, kind of loaded. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of condensed ownership around Connors and Homa and Burns and Norlander and Steele. I just think someone like Kirk could go overlooked because he's not like a very sexy name, but he's played great. He just makes a lot of birdies. I mean, something I take into account every week is kind of the guys' last five starts and how many birdies they made for tournament, bogeys, and then DraftKings points. I mean, he's averaged almost 90 DK points per tournament over his last five. I mean, that's like up there with some of the top guys. Like, that's up there with the likes of English and Webb and Berger. So I think he's a great player.
There's a lot of good guys this week in the 7K range. The more I think about it out loud, this week's going to suck for cash games because there's going to be so many guys in this range that are just going to all be owned, which is what it is. It's DFS. It's, you know, it's still a chess game at the end of the day. But I can already visualize myself when I start making MME lineups. I will look at the projections portal, and I promise you, I will be taking guys that are sticking out in bold green. Like right now, I just looked at the screen, and the first person I saw was actually Matthew Wolf. Three. You know, I'm looking for the dark greens, the numbers that stick out to me when I make MME lineups. Like, not that we are talking about playing Jordan Spieth in cash. Jordan Spieth, 3%. Brendan Todd, 3%. I mean, there's just Adam Hadwin. I feel like he's a desert golfer in a way. Taylor Gooch, 4%. Like, Matt Kuchar, 5%. Jason Day, 6%. I mean, my God, like when I'm making, again, that's just why I want to conceptualize this. For people that are dabbling with the optimizer, start going overweight. Just 3X. Start with that. Go, maybe go 4X. Like pick a Jason Day and put him at 20%, right? So you're about 3.5X the field. You know, you got to hit on a couple of these low-owned guys. If you go to the MME and you're just putting in Corey Connors, again, Sam and I love these guys for single-entry, 3-max stuff. You know, Chris Kirk, you know, Rory Sabatini down here, Siwoo, some of these other guys. Like anybody that's 15, 25% owned, it's very hard if your whole pool is a bunch of those guys to actually win at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Anyways, anybody else? I mean,
we kind of skipped over it. It's funny, Jason Day at 7,800. That's interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's like he's an auto 3X in GPP. Like, yeah, I got it.
That's the thing.
Max Homer, yeah. 15% owned. That's an easy, like, dude, I actually love following him on Twitter. He's gone. He's fired, right? Even Sam Burns, like, I love him. I mean, then again, I won't delete him out of my pool, but Chris Kirk, I mean, ejected, right? Who else down here? I mean,
well, I just think you got to think about the way of like, okay, so you have next to Jason Day, you have Connors 20%, Homa 15, Burns 15, Norlander 15, Brennan Steele 15, Byung-Hun Ahn probably higher. Like Jason Day is significantly better than all of those players. That's just a fact. That's not even like an opinion. Maybe recently he has not been, but like long term, he is way better than them. So, like you said, yeah, it's not like you have to go. And that's the key thing with MME. I mean, you do it more than I do, but it's like if Jason Day is going to be 6 or 7%, it doesn't mean you have to own him at 50. That means own him at 15 and you're way overweight the field and you have and you haven't burned a lot of your lineups and he sucks.
All right, Sam. So to summarize here and kind of put a bow on this podcast, I'm going to go real quick. And again, this is going to come from the projections portal. This is what the data is telling me. And I rely on the data, especially when I'm MMEing. Anytime I see these guys spiking in karma value, it's the bright orange column and the numbers are generally larger versus, you know, the blue colder numbers. And this is, again, the karma value on the projections portal. So these numbers help me go 3-4X. Like, obviously, I know some of the Jason Days of the world. But and then, Sam, you can come back. And anybody else I miss in this, like, lower tier range. So guys that I'll probably get exposure to and GPPs. Again, based on the projections portal, John Huh. I mean, that's your guy, actually, Sam. Rory Sabatini is popping in our models, and this is a classic one. He's 4% projected owned. He's 7,300, kind of around some other chalky guys. And Rory Sabatini was amazing this weekend down the stretch. I mean, for a point in period of time, I'm like, damn, is Rory Sabatini going to win at the Farmers? Who else is down here? Zach Johnson's projecting well. Not saying I love it, but Patton Kizzire, I could see it. He's projecting well under karma value. Mm-hmm. He's got a great iron game. And the number one guy that continues to stick out is Cameron Tringali. For what it's worth, he populates more often than not in these lower tier ranges. Your simulations generally like Tringali, I've noticed, which isn't a bad thing, right? Like, I'll definitely go 2-3X with him. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else below.
It's funny, dude. I keep playing him in cash. Look at I'm probably playing him in gangs. I don't always play, but like Tringali's course history is comical. He's missed like 5 cuts in a row here, which is hilarious. But like, whatever. I agree. No, I mean, I like all these guys. None of these guys.
Anybody else that you're seeing in the 6K range that you'll be dabbling with? I mean, Luke List, obviously, I kind of mentioned him earlier, but it just sucks because I want to play Luke List. I want to play Corey Connors. I want to play Sam Burns. But, like, they're all going to be 15% owned. So my lineup's going to be the ultimate AC chalk fest, which is usually what I do anyways.
Loves the chalk. I'd say guys that I like kind of low 7 and also 6. Adam Wong, I play a lot. He's never owned. But he can, like, go out and shoot 9-under on, like, any day. Like, he can make 1,000 birdies. So I like him. I like Eric Van Rooyen, who's been, like, kind of decent. No one's going to own him. He's only 7,000. And then the 6K, I'll play Kyle Stanley again because he didn't burn me for once. Lucas Glover to make sure I lose money. And then he was in one of the final groups last week, but Sam Ryder, who I play all the time until literally last week, is only 6,500. That's just, it was like almost hilarious, dude. Like, literally, I've been playing him all the time, misses cuts, shooting a million, and then just comes 10th like the first week I don't play him. So
it's funny, some of the names you just mentioned there. Again, I'll continue to go back to the projections portal. If you really take a look, like, yes, a lot of the numbers are in blue for anybody that's on YouTube, or you go to our website and check it out. But a lot of the numbers that are in like blue, generally down in this range, are like a negative 7, a negative 2.95, a negative 6.3. But like you mentioned, Lucas Glover, he's actually in the lighter shaded blue, so it's getting warmer. You know, that's the whole color coordination code, which you'll be able to pick up on it the more you use this. Ryan Moore right there, it is a positive 4 number. Kevin Streelman kind of sticks out to me looking at the projections portal. I mean, 1% owned. Kevin Streelman is the type of guy that, like, you just wonder, like, oh, it's the weekend and Kevin Streelman's in fifth place and he's 2% owned. So, again, yeah. Some of these other guys that you mentioned as well are down here are kind of projecting quite well.
Yeah, I'd say the only guy should be popular here is people always play Martin Laird here because he has a weird, like, really good track record. He's like, I think he has 4 top 10s here, and he's made every cut but, like, 1 in the last 10 years.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not playing Martin Laird, but I'm just saying that'll be, like, kind of the more popular. Yeah, I mean, Keegan, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I probably won't, but, you know, he's burned me so many times that he's, like, one of the few guys I've just written off.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Zach Johnson.
But anyways, that does it, guys. You know, Sam, any closing thoughts? I did not make bets yet. I still got to do that tonight.
I was going to ask about your favorite bet. My favorite bet by far, I'll just give it out, is Corey Connors, 85-1. I thought that was sick odds. I bet the top 5, top 10. Yeah, he's winning.
Yeah, I'll be tailing on that. I mean, I bet Corey Connors last week. I don't even remember at this point. I'm looking for a guy, lower odds right now. I mean, Brooks would obviously be mid-tier. I feel like I'm going to end up betting Brooks. I don't even care that the line move. Like, you know, some weeks I can get my bets out on Mondays. Honestly, some are Tuesdays. So I'll probably take a hard look at Brooks. But I probably will go back to the well with Sam Burns, man. I mean, I'll take a look at his odds. And I'm assuming that'll be a nice value play. Mm-hmm. Other than that, good luck this week, everybody. If you can, give us a like on the YouTube button. Give us a shout on the Twitter machine, hop into our Discord chat. We'll be in there tilting our faces off about the DFS and betting golf throughout the week. All right, guys, thanks. Good luck. Talk to you next week.